So let's pray and let's get started. Tonight, we're going to be looking at ages 13 to 18. And in doing so, we're going to call it the mentor or the coach stage, the mentoring stage or the coaching stage. And so I know for a lot of you and for me, student ministry, this is where I'm at as well. And so we're going to have fun talking tonight about how we can do this age and do it biblically. All right. So let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we do say thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time. And God, I pray, may we, Lord, just pause for a moment in our busyness of life. Lord, let's look to your word and see what your word has to say. And Lord, let's find ways, Lord, that we can do it better. Lord, I'm not a professional at it. Lord, I just get the opportunity to be here and they're there. And so, Father, I just pray, may you receive the glory. Lord, may this help others, Lord, to do what it is you've called us to do. And that is raise young warriors, warriors for Christ. And so, Father, I pray, may we all be found diligently doing that while we have them with us. And then, Lord, when they're not, when they leave, that we'll continue to do what it is that you've called us to do in parenting. And Father, we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. And all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Today is November the 2nd. What I want to do real quick, if you'll take your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 2. And as you go to Proverbs chapter 2, the pastor would have said this morning, it would be wise of you to open up God's word every day and read a proverb a day. Since I've been here, that is something that I do because I was encouraged to by my pastor. And so I do what he does, what he tells me to do most of the time, okay? You know, there's days where we have our times, but we love each other anyway. So, and it's rare, y'all. We have a good time working together. But in Proverbs chapter 2, all right, if you remember, it's going to be that of the one that would have written the Proverbs. He would be speaking to that of his son. And I just want you to hear the words here as I would have read this morning, thinking about what we're going to talk about tonight, in addition to what we're going to talk about tonight. So here we go. And I'm reading from the NET Bible, so it is going to be a little different. Very good Bible, but just know my King James fell apart. All right, so Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My child, if, notice that the if statements, if you receive my words and store up my commands within you by making your ear attentive to wisdom and by turning your heart to understanding, indeed, if, there it is again, you call out for discernment, raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you, watch that, there's the if-then statements. And if we was here in January through May when we was talking about how to study God's word, then you will understand how to fear the Lord. It's then, that's how you'll understand how to do it, my son or my daughter. And so you and I, as we're looking at this, we need to understand that there is a right way of doing this, all right? And it's biblical. It's a biblical way of doing it, all right? And it's just teaching them God's word. Now, remember this, not using God's word as like beating them across the head, not using God's word as that of, you know what? God's word says you shall not lie. How dare you to lie? You know, the Lord's going to come and get you. No, don't do that, all right? But we can use God's word to be that of a teaching and that of a training. And it's really about how you say it. And that is, hey, you remember, man, one of the Ten Commandments, he says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Remember that? And you give it an opportunity to be a learning time, especially in that cop stage. Remember, we've already went through the caregiver stage. We went through the cop stage. And it's during that cop stage that we're really teaching them how to respect. All right. We're respecting authority. And that's where I think a lot of us miss that opportunity. Our pastor would have said this morning, discipline is void within our homes today. And it's evident within how that of how the kids are just about doing whatever the kids want to do. I talked to a maintenance man at West Iredale a couple years ago, and I said, man, how long you worked here? 20 years. And he says, but I'm ready to be done. I said, why? He says, man, you wouldn't believe it. He says, 20 years has changed dramatically the kids. And I said, what? He said, listen, you don't understand. There was rarely was I replacing a toilet on a daily basis. Rarely was I having to fix things on it. He says, the kids are just unglued. He says, they come in, they destroy, they tear up. And he says, man, I'm telling you, it is every day having to fix something. And I'm thinking, man, how sad that is. But that is a reflection of the home. That is a reflection on what takes place from the home. Now, you ready? Not every time, but it is a reflection of the home. And so when we see this then, and we talked about last time we met about the coaching years, those preteen years, and how we're teaching them how to have a conviction about following the things that God would tell us to follow or not, or following the rules that we've said or not. And so that brings us into this mentoring stage. It's a stage of where we want them to grow in wisdom and we want them to grow in ownership. We want them to grow in wisdom and we want them to grow in ownership. We want them to own what it is that they have when they become 18, 19 years old. Listen to me. If they do not own their faith, then you've done a poor job of teaching them how they should grow in their faith. If they're claiming to be believers in Jesus Christ, notice that, if, there's the if, then they should be growing in God's Word. And you should be the example to them about how to grow in God's Word. And you ready? Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're already one of those people, and I too as well at one time would say, where do I start? Well, tomorrow's November the 3rd. I would read Proverbs chapter 3. That's another one. And then the next day is Proverbs chapter 4. You got to start somewhere. And then what you do is you take what it is that you're reading and you begin to share it with that of your children, with that of your teenage kids. You begin to pour into them the truths that you find from God's Word. These teen years are not about controlling behavior. If you're still controlling behavior, that is not good. Listen to me. It's not about controlling their behavior anymore. This is about shaping their hearts and preparing them to be warriors. Remember, it's the cop stage that we were controlling behavior. It was that up to 10 years old mark, that 6 to 10 year old mark that we're teaching them what is right. We're teaching them what is wrong. If you do wrong, then you get this. If you do right, then you get this. All right. And now, by the time we get to be this 13 to 18 year old mark, if we're still teaching them that, yo, we've got a lot of work to do. And I say we, because I'm here with you. I'm not saying you're on an island by yourself. I'm here to help. But remember, it will take all of us on the same page if that's where we're at a 13, 14, 15 year old mark right now. And so we want to see this as a time to where their hearts are being shaped and that we're preparing them to do what? To go forth and be warriors for Christ if they're claiming to be believers. If they're claiming to be believers, you may still have children that may not be that. And hey, you know what? That's okay. Keep praying for them. I believe the book of James is very clear in James chapter 1. Pray as a man that does not waver. Pray as a man that believes. You pray believing that God can save your child and call them out by name. Lord, please save my son. Lord, please save my daughter. I believe you can because you're a whosoever God. Because listen, you ready? He says he wishes none to perish. Now you ready? You just keep pouring God's word into them. Keep believing that God can. Be faithful in living out God's word in front of them. And listen, you ready? And if they don't choose it, that's on them. At least you did all that you could to show them the truths of God's word. You've lived it out before them. You can't make them be, you cannot save them. You cannot. You do not want that. I promise you. I told you a couple of sessions ago that like anytime one of my daughters would have went down, if I was pastoring at the time or if I was over the mission trip at the time, I was very quick to let someone else pray with them. I was very quick. I do not want it to be on me. No, I do not want to coax my kids into salvation. I want it to be real. I want it to be genuine. I want it to be Holy Spirit. And that is it. And so in doing so, then there's no more of, I'm not sure. No, let's go back to where that time was. And so what happens is we find constant scriptural support in this mentoring or this coaching stage. In Proverbs, if you just want to write them down or you can listen to me, whatever you'd like to do, I'm going to go quick through these four scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Think about that for a second. He's speaking of you. Think about where your heart is. And it's where your heart is where their heart will be. If you are one that is living out the word of God in front of them, then therefore, you ready? Then so therefore it flows from it. This reminds us that the true transformation begins in the heart, and it's not just merely an outward obedience. Listen, you can teach your kid how to act right and wrong in church. I promise you. You can teach them how to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You can teach them to have good ethics and good morals. But what you cannot do is you cannot change their heart. It must be that of the Word of God. It's the Word of God, according to Psalm chapter 19, that it's the Word of God that changes the heart of an individual. Psalm 19 verses 1 through 7 or 1 through 6 says that God reveals himself to all men in a general way. That's what he says. Sun come up, sun come down. No man will ever stand before God and be able to say, but Lord, I never knew. Nope, it says that he shows himself every day through his creation. But then it's through that creation that it begins to draw men to that of saying, wait a minute, there's something greater. And therefore, then you go and you find a missionary or God puts an evangelist in front of you, or you end up at a church and the Word of God is shared with you. It's the Word of God that saves an individual. Go read it. It's Psalm 19. You'll have a wonderful time with it. And so it's the heart that we want changed. I told a parent one time that they were speaking on the fact that we need to have a dress code up in one of our youth rooms. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Okay. So tell me what we're supposed to dress like. Tell me how we're supposed to dress. Because the moment we do that, that's the standard that we have. And remember, we have visitors coming. We have people that are lost. We have people that are saved. And so just know, and then you've got to be the one that holds them to that standard. All right. I'm not going to stand there. And remember, this is going to be tough because now you're the one that decided that this is holy and this is not holy. All right. Really what I want upstairs is I just want a group of kids that the Word of God is changing their heart. And if the Word of God is changing their heart, then what changes on the inside begins to change on the outside. The way they treat you, all right, will change because the Word of God is having an impact within their life. They begin to honor you. They begin to respect you. Because why? Well, because the Word of God says so. And so that's what we want. That's what we want. We want a heart change. He goes on in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. The Bible says this, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. This fits perfectly with the shaping of the heart ideal. Parents draw out convictions rather than just impose rules. Parents, I'll say it again. Parents draw out the convictions. You're showing them, hey, this is what God's Word says. And teaching them, hey, let the Word of God be what does the convicting. Not you saying, well, the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says that, and this is the law, and this is what. No, let it be the Word of God that begins to change their heart. Because remember, if the Word of God is doing the convicting, man, that's lasting. Remember, God's Word, it does not return null or void. Drives me nuts when you have a church that has an electronic sign out in front, or they have these signs out front and they would rather put some quirky quote on it than to put the Word of God on it. The Word of God is what does not return null or void. It's what changes people's lives. All right. Not there's a free ATM. Come on inside. Whatever it is that they do. Psalm 127 verses 4-5. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children's of one's youth. These teens that you and I are raising, we're mentoring them. Listen to this. They are akin to that of arrows being shaped for battle. We are preparing warriors. You are raising young warriors. This is what I have to remind parents often. Listen, I know you'll always see them. I will always see her as little Olivia. She's 23 now. I always will see her as little Carly. And I always will see her as little Molly. The other one I'm not going to just because. All right. And so, but I always would see them as them little selves, okay? But I also know they're adults. And I'm raising them to leave the house. So if you're not raising them to leave the house, then I'm asking you, what are you planning on doing with your kids? You want them to live at your house forever? That's not what your parents raised you to do. No, you want them to be able to leave the house, fly the coop, and when they do it, you want them to be successful. So why not teach them how to do that while they're at home? Why not show them how to wash their own clothes? Why not show them how to wash their dishes? Why not show them how to clean up their room? Why not show them, hey, how to live on their own for a week? Send them to camp. I'd love to have them for a week. Why not show them that, are you ready when they get 17 years old, sign up for a 10-week away to Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters and let them learn how to live on their own at the age of 17. That's good for them to learn how to live on their own. Why? Well, because remember, they're going to be 18 and 19. If they don't go off to college, they're going to go find a job. Surely you're not going to let them sit in your basement and eat bonbons and root beer for the rest of your life. No, you want them to grow up. So what do you got to do? You've got to do something, though. You're the one that is shaping them like arrows. You're preparing them for battle. Deuteronomy 6, I love this passage. Deuteronomy 6, and I'll flip over there with you on this one. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses is given the second law. And as he's given the second law, it's not a second law, it's he's just reiterating the law to that of a new generation of people. Because remember, you've had a whole generation that have died out. Now you're coming into the promised land, and God restates. He says, Moses, tell the law to these people again. They need to hear it again. Why? Because I'm going to make a covenant with this people. All right. So Deuteronomy, that's a cool name too. Like anyway, so Deuteronomy chapter 6, just think about it. Say it one time. Deuteronomy. I see it's neat. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, watch what the Bible says. These words I am commanding you. What words? Well, go back to verse 5, parents. This is for us. You must love the Lord your God with all your with your whole mind, with your whole being, and with all of your strength. Do you? I mean, think about that for a minute. How you love the Lord is how they're going to love the Lord. If he's a convenient God, he'll be a convenient God to them as well. If he's just a God that's, I don't know, like the elf on the shelf, just shows up for Christmas and shows up for Easter, that's how he'll be for you. That's how God will be for them as well. And so God says, listen, he's telling Moses, as you're going in, tell the people, love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. Love God with everything that you have. Are you ready? Why? Because these words I am commanded you today must be kept in mind. They must be kept in mind. And you must, I love how it says it, and you must teach them to your children and speak of them as you sit in your house. See, notice this. It doesn't say in the preacher must do that. It doesn't say the pastor must do that. You must do that. That's what you must be doing. And you're like, yeah, but I'm not a theologian. You don't have to be. Just open up God's word and read it. I'm telling you, it's in English. You don't have to read it in Latin. You don't have to read it in Hebrew. You don't have to read it in Greek. It's in English. You just open up God's word. Hey, you ready? And just read it. Give them a verse every day. Slip them a verse. Text them a verse. Whatever it may be, wherever God's got you growing, send that to them. Why? Because you're wanting to show them that you're ready. I live by the book. I live by that of the Word of God. The Word of God says it is to be a lamp and a light unto my path and to my feet. And so you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to hide its words in my heart so that I can hide it in my kids' hearts. Listen, I want the Word of God guiding my kids. I don't want my opinions. Your opinions don't mean jack squat if they don't line up with God's Word. While they're wonderful and they're marvelous, they don't mean anything if they contradict the Word of God. And so what happens is, he goes on and he says this. He says, and you must teach them to your children and speak of them as you sit in your house and as you walk along the road and as you lie down and as you get up. You should tie them as a reminder on your forearm and fasten them as symbols on your forehead. Inscribe them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Put God's word everywhere. Let it be everywhere. Let it be as you turn on your car and they're riding with you down the road. Let it be on the radio station. There's nothing better. Now listen, you choose your radio station. I choose mine. It's called Bluetooth. And so therefore, I turn on my Christian music and we listen to Shylin. You should go listen to it. It's marvelous. It is Christian rap. But he raps, listen, he raps doctrine. He raps scripture. It's good stuff, all right? It's scripture. Why not? It's better than what's on some of the other stations, okay? So, but see, I choose what I want my kids to hear. It's good when my kid's riding down the road and she says, hey, Daddy, can you turn on V. Rose, I Surrender? All right, you ready? It's not your I Surrender All, I promise you. But it is her I Surrender All, and we love it, okay? Nothing better than my 9-year-old to be knowing what it means to surrender all. And it should be me the one that's teaching them, not the pastor, but her daddy. And so the Bible tells us that we ought to be ones that is constantly teaching it. There is a war out there, parents. Listen, there is a war out there, and they want your kid. The Antichrist, Satan, listen, they're already sinful little beings. They're wicked. I know they're cute, and I know they're beautiful, and they're wonderful. They wicked, and they mean. They need Jesus, okay? And what you want to do is you want to recognize that the war out there is real. Now, you ready? We want to protect them as much as we can, but we cannot keep them from growing up. They will turn 19 one day. They will turn 20 one day. And you're preparing them for that. You want them to fly, and you want them to fly high. All right? And you ready? And when they fly, you want to be able to just lay your head on the pillow and rest well at night, knowing that you've done all that you could do. I've done all that I could do. And so therefore, we want to remind them that adolescence is a spiritual battlefield. This time that they're in, it's a spiritual battlefield. And listen to me, it's not merely just a hard phase. This is a battlefield within their minds, because until you get a hard-headed 14, 15-year-old trying to have a conversation with them and they've already got their mind made up, and you have to remind yourself that right now I'm parent, you're not, and you know what? This is how we're going to roll with it. I'm telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet, okay? Get ready. It's coming, all right? I don't know if you have one that you can, like it's arguing with a lamppost, all right? But that's difficult, all right? And so as you're arguing with the lamppost, just remember, you're in charge of the light switch that comes on and off on that light post. And you turn it on, you can turn it off, all right? So, and you can remind them of that as well. Because why? Well, because what we've got to understand is that according to Proverbs 27:17, it's iron that sharpens iron. No one person sharpens another. It's us sharpening one another. Now, a lot of people take that straight to men, like men sharpening men, like iron sharpening iron. That's what we're going to call our men's ministry. That's wonderful. But remember, if you've got young believers in your home, you're sharpening them. It's iron sharpening iron. And so as you're doing that, what takes place is that you and I, we have to realize that it's taking the Word of God and it's teaching the Word of God to them. For instance, just take your Bibles, go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. It's a long psalm. We will not read but the first four verses. You can read the rest later. Or if you're listening to it on the podcast, this is where you can pause, because it's going to take you a while. All right, but Psalm 78, notice what he says here. The psalmist says these words, and it's Asaph that has written this. He says, "Pay attention, my people, to my instruction. Listen to the words I speak." I love it. "I will sing a song that imparts wisdom. I will make insightful observations about the past. What we have heard and learned, that which our ancestors have told us." Now watch verse 4. "We will not hide it from our descendants." We will not hide it from our generations. We will not hide this. We will not hide it from the descendants. "We will tell the next generation about the Lord's praiseworthy acts, about his strength and his amazing things that he has done." Are you? I mean, think about that. Are you telling your kids about the great things that God is doing? I love traveling in the mornings to school, because the one that rides with me now, I ain't got but one that rides with me no more. The rest of them, I got it. I ain't drive, Daddy. And so, but that one, we'll get in the car. "So what you doing today, Daddy?" And you know what? I catch myself sometimes saying, "Well, I have to go teach." And then I go, nope, excuse me. I get to go teach today. I'm teaching God's Word. I'm going to be teaching Bible. And then, you ready? And then I'm going to go and I'm going to do table talk at North Iredell High School. And I get to go talk about the Bible, and I get to tell them all the great things about what God's Word says. It's an awesome time, my little buddy. And then, you ready? And then I come back. And then by the time I get back, I grab me a little bite to eat down in the cafeteria, because it's so doggone delightful. And then, you ready? And then I go to Sharps and I do a Bible study at Sharps. Tonight, this afternoon, I'll do a Bible study there. Man, I get to open God's Word. So again, you ready? What am I doing? I'm telling her about the great things that is going on within my life. You're like, "Yeah, but I'm not a pastor." Nope, but there ought to be great things taking place within your life as a believer. Just because, listen, there's great things that still takes place within my life. There's still times that I'm at the gas pump and I'm sharing the gospel and I get to share with my kids, "Hey, listen, you ain't going to believe what happened. I had a run-in with this person." The great things that takes place within my life. I get to tell them about the great things that took place in my life as I was growing up, and how, hey, you ready? I had Bible drill. I love Bible drill. Bible drills were amazing. Did anybody do Bible drills? Oh yeah. See, rock it. Yep. Hold the Bible up. Yeah. Salute. All right. Pledge. Whatever. And Genesis. I love that one. That was easy. Flip it over. You're like, got it. All right. So we want to teach our kids that, y'all. We want to show them, and we want to do it anchoring it from the Word of God. Teens don't rise. Listen to this. Teens don't rise to low expectations. Teens don't rise to low expectations. They rise to a calling. And what you've got to do is you've got to give them, hey, we need to give them great expectations. We need to be teaching them, hey, listen, this is the God I serve. You'll never plumb the depths of that of God's Word. God's Word is so deep, man. Listen, God's Word is amazing. So let's go and let's just keep digging in God's Word. Hey, God's got great things in store for you. Here's a hard one. When you have kids that are getting ready to go into college, Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? How do I know it's the Lord's will? How do I know? And y'all, there's a ton of questions there. And you know what you have to do as a parent? Now, I'm not even going to talk about from a pastor's part of it. From a parent, I just have to remind them, hey, listen, continue moving forward. Be faithful to the Word of God. God will guide you. The door will be closed. If you're not supposed to go to that school, the door will be closed. If you are supposed to go to that school, then when you get to that school, or hey, if you're not supposed to have that job, then you know what? The door will be closed. Continue going forward, being faithful to what the Word of God says, and God will guide you. Now listen, you ready? Will they fall on their face? They sure will. All right. And you know what's so awesome is they know how to get themselves back up because you taught them how to do that while they were in your home. You taught them how to get themselves back up. You taught them that it's okay to mess up. You taught them that, hey, you ready? Because it is God that picks you back up out of the mud, wipes you off, puts you back up on the vine, and lets you continue to produce fruit. So why are you not teaching your kids how to do that? It's okay to let them fall. It's okay to let them get hurt. There's nothing better than having a, man, we ought to buy like stock in Band-Aids at my house. Like we got to have a Band-Aid for everything. Yeah, I'm talking about a Band-Aid for everything. Good. Here's your Band-Aid. And they're like, why not? Yeah, I don't care. Are you okay? I'm okay. Good. Let's keep moving forward. But let them experience that. So whenever they do fall as an adult, they don't just spiral out of nowhere. No, you know what? They know that they're going to be okay. God has got them. They're a believer. And God's not going to allow anything to take place within their life that God wouldn't want them. It's the thing sliding on the floor. All right. So we see then that we want to give them a high calling. We want to remind them that God has great things for them. Tripp said this, rather than seeking to get our teenagers under our control, we want to be used of God so that they would joyfully submit to us. He says that in the book called Age of Opportunity on page 227. I'll read it again. He says this, rather than seeking to get our teenagers under our control. No. We want to be used of God so that they would joyfully submit to His control. I want them to be controlled. Listen, as an 18-year-old, I really want them to be controlled by that of what God's Word says. If they're still being controlled by me, that's not good. You really want them to really begin to lean on the Word of God themselves. So what you're doing is, it's kind of like our conversation. It's them going to a point of saying, okay, wait a minute, that don't sound right. And then what do? They go to God's Word, all right? Or they come to you and they ask you the question. And you ready, guys? It's okay not to have the answer. Even as a pastor, I was taught in seminary, it's okay not to have the answer. You're not all-knowing. I am not God. And so there's times where kids come to me and I'll go, I don't know, let me go look that up. But you ready? But you know where I go to look it up at? I say, hey, I've got to go look in God's Word. What you can begin to do is say, hey, listen, why don't you go to God's Word and look over, I don't know, maybe in Ephesians chapter 5. Hey, you know what? Foul language, that, man, that shows you're completely ignorant. You know, by using foul language, it just shows that you really are making yourself a fool. Do you know God says in His Word somewhere? I tell you what, why don't you go to Ephesians chapter 5 and you go and you read Ephesians 5 and you tell me if the foul language that you're using is appropriate or is it a sweet smell and savor to the Lord? You go read it. I don't know. I'll let you do it. And then you know what you've done? You've pointed them to the Scripture. They're going to the Scripture. And now what they're doing is they're letting the Scripture, because that's what Timothy says, let the Word of God be used for what? For that of discipline, for that of instruction, for that of correction, for that of... So we want God's Word to change the heart. And so now they're reading, you know what? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says that Christ, in verse 2 says, Christ is a sweet smell and savor unto the Lord. And then it starts going down and it starts talking about how you ought to be careful with your mouth, how you ought to be careful with your actions, because listen, as a believer, you ought to be, all about your life ought to be a sweet smell. It ought to be a sweet smell, just like that of the sacrifice that's given there in that of the tabernacle. And so we see that take place and how we want to point them. I want to point them to that of God's Word. All right. A couple of things of understanding their heart. To understand the teen heart and the teen mind, y'all, is like, booyah. All right. But here's four things that I think that we can understand that is a reality to that of a teen. Number one, identity formation. They are really trying to figure out who they are. Okay. They really are trying to figure out the who am I, and what we really want them to do is whose am I? All right, we want them to know who they belong to. They are created in God's image and they're image bearers. And listen, and God does want to save you. Or if you are a believer, you're a child of God, man. That's who you belong to. Romans 8 reminds me that I can call upon Him as Abba Father. You ready? And then when I don't know what to pray, listen, son or daughter, there's going to be, and I don't know about y'all, I'm speaking for me, all right? But there's times I just don't know what to pray. Y'all, my mind is just like mush. Yes, that's just right now as well. And you're like, I don't know what to, but Lord, I need help. And it's at that time my Bible tells me because I'm adopted heir, that I belong to the Father, that you know what? That the Spirit speaks for me. Not in tongues. Don't go down that path. But the Spirit would speak for me. And God knows what it is that I need. The main thing is I'm just crying out and I'm seeking after that of God. But you ready? We want them to do that as well. And you know what? We teach them that. We teach them how to pray. I tell my kids all the time, if you don't pray for your food, you're going to choke on it and die. All right? You ought to pray for your food. You bunch of ungrateful youngins. Anyway, so we know the identity formation is big. Desire for independence, y'all, is huge. They want to be independent, but we got to make sure that it's with guidance. Okay? Independence is wonderful. I agree with that. They ought to be putting deodorant on by themselves. All right. You should not be brushing their teeth anymore. And no, you should not be washing their hair. If you're still doing that, bless you, sister and brother. All right. But what we do need to know is that they do want independence. They want that. They have a desire for that. But we've got to make sure that it's with guidance. Emotional intensity. And it is. And you ready? And a lot of that emotion comes from that of that pull, that social pull of their peers. It's whoever they're hanging around with. Okay. Remember that. And it's not a bad thing. You want them to hang out with those kids. Hey, I promise you, if Jesus was to come back, he ain't going to Chick-fil-A to eat no chicken. That is not where Jesus would eat his chicken. He would eat it at the Zaxby's because that's where all the heathens are. All right. That's the good chicken. All right. But anyway, that's the unholy chicken in my house. But for me, I'm okay with my kids hanging out with not the perfect crowd. Why? Y'all, the rest of their life, you cannot maintain that. What you want them to do is while they're at your home, let them begin to hang out with, oh, you're hanging out with them? and they're like, yeah. And you're like, oh, really? So how did that go? And I love when my kids, or I love when a parent will tell me this, hey, so-and-so got invited to the movies. Eric shared that the other day. And as she got invited to the movies, then she said, they said at that time, because she was old enough to drive, they would have said, hey, have you looked into those movies? Because we do Plugged In Online. And so they went to Plugged In Online, and as she did, they let her do it. All right, Mary Beth. And so as she went and looked, she came back and she said, that ain't what I want to watch. So she called her friends and she said, hey, I don't think we should go watch that movie. Come to find out, they didn't even go to the movies. But why? Well, because you had a set of parents that said, hey, you ain't going to go watch that movie. How dare you? No. Hey, you know what? You really ought to go look that up. Why? Because you want them to learn to start making those decisions on their own. All right. You want them to begin to do that. You, again, remember independence, but with guidance. Remember, you want to understand they do have that pull of their peers. Remember, that's why, hey, I think it's so funny. The haircuts these days, they look like, I agree. They look like my grandma's haircut, like back in the 70s. You're like, where did that come from? You ready? That's because they got peers that they wear their hair that way. All it's going to take is somebody that's cool to wear their hair cut tight, you know, or with the grease, like from the 60s, you know, Dwayne, like back when your day. Yeah. So just slick back, baby. All right. All it's going to take is one popular person. And then next thing you know, you're going to have to go buy some grease to put in her hair. So anyhow, just remember that. The ability for deep faith, y'all, is there. And there is the ability of strong convictions. They do have that ability. Remember, that heart is being molded. And you want them to start having those strong, that strong convictions. You want them to begin to have that deep faith. Why? You don't want them to have it is not your faith that they should be living off of. It's no. You want it to be theirs. If you want to take a side note, you can go do an adventure on your own. Philippians chapter 2, like verses 12, 13, and 14 says it's their salvation to work out, not yours. It ain't yours to work out for them. It's their salvation to work out themselves. So if they're a believer, what you're doing is you're just feeding them what's needed for them to grow in their faith so they can grow deep in their faith and they can have the strong convictions that's taught by that of God's word. I had some notes here. One of the examples that was given was Daniel. And remember a couple episodes ago, we did how Daniel purposed in his heart. And in Daniel chapter 1 in verse 8, it would have said that he purposed within his heart that he wasn't going to defile his body with the king's meat and with the king's wine. And so he took a stand. All right. Remember, he took that stand as a teenage boy. He took that stand. And listen to me. Ready? Your teenage son, your teenage daughter can take that stand as well if they have the deep faith and they have the strong convictions. You want them to have that. And I started thinking, okay, how is it that Daniel had that? And so real quick, I just want to walk through just a couple of points because this is completely added on from what I was going to talk about. Just real quick, listen up, because I started thinking, I've always heard that Daniel was taught like he would have been taught in the temple and he would have been set aside for much. And okay, well, that's wonderful. But what does God's word say? I mean, I think it's great that we have those stories, but what does God's word say? So listen here. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it tells us this, that they were young men without blemish. Now listen to this. And they were trained in wisdom and knowledge. They were trained in wisdom and knowledge. Daniel and his friends were chosen because they were already well-taught, disciplined, wise individuals. That's why the Babylonians, that's why they chose them to come and serve within the king's court. Why? Because they were well-taught, they were disciplined, and they were wise. That's what the word of God says. But then when you come down to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3, we find out real quick that Daniel came from a noble, faithful line. Because it says this in verse 3, from the sons of Israel included some of the royal family and nobles. This implies he came from a family that valued God's covenant, scripture, and obedience. He came from a family that would have loved it. Why? Well, because it was a royal family and it was of the nobles. Faithful to Israel's traditions, royal families in Judah were expected to model covenant faithfulness. They were expected to do that. And so I'm like, okay, that's good. Daniel was raised under the covenant commands. Listen to what he says in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. We've already read that part, so don't go there. Teach them diligently to your children. Faithful Hebrew parents taught their children continually. We don't do that, y'all. We don't do that. We do not, and I say we do not do that. We ought to be people that is constantly teaching, constantly showing. Now listen, it's not one of those ones where we become a cult because, you know, it's all we do and it's kumbaya, my Lord, and we kind of separate ourselves, isolate ourselves. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is do what Deuteronomy says, and that is live it. Live out the Word of God. Talk about it all the time when you're lying down, when you're rising up. Talk about it when they mess up. Talk about it. Hey, talk about it all the time. And listen, the reason why you possibly can't talk about it that way is you're probably not reading it that way. You're not in it. You're not growing in it. You need to be growing in the Word of God for yourself so that you can do that for your kids. Remember, iron sharpening iron. So therefore, they taught their children continually to love the Lord your God, to obey His commandments, and to talk about Scripture at home, on the way, in the morning, in the night. I mean, guys, there's nothing more easier to do for a 9-year-old, 8-year-old, and you're ready to teach them young, that when that sun comes up, isn't that beautiful? Man, He's an artist. It's amazing at how my God does. Hey, at nighttime, take them outside, let them see that moon. Oh, isn't that amazing? Look at what God is. You're showing them the handiworks of that of God. A good song that can go with that. He's still working on me. That's a good song too. I like that, but you don't want me to sing for you. So another one was that he was trained in the scriptures and law. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells me and you that we're to meditate on the Word of God day and night. So what does that look like? Well, I'm going to tell you how it looks like and how I've had it related, kind of shown to me. And that is like how a cow chews on its cud. So in the morning, all right, I don't know what you do in the mornings. I'll tell you what I do in the mornings because my phone does lay beside on my nightstand. I do get calls at weird times of the night, and I'm okay with that. It's wonderful. That's what I get. That's what I'm here for, okay, and I'm fine with that. But it's there. So when I pull it open, what I want to do is the first thing I want to do is hit my Bible app. All right, I don't want to hit my Facebook app. I don't want to hit my Instagram app. I don't care about what's going on in the world. Really, what I want to do is I want to hit my Bible app, and I want to get my Proverbs in before I even get rolling. Now, you ready? You're like, Pastor Scott, have you got like all your notebooks out? And you're sitting there, and you're like digging into it. Nope. I'm sitting there going, okay, whew, hold on a second. Yeah, that's good. Okay, good. That's it, y'all. That's all I got. But you know what I'm doing is I'm getting the word in my system so that as I begin to navigate the day, that I've got something that I've been chewing on that I can share with people, that I can share with my kids, that I can share. So I'm meditating on the word of God day and night. Meditate on it. Listen to it. Psalm 119 verses 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By hiding God's word in their heart. Daniel hid God's word in his heart long before the exile. Y'all listen to me. Giving them God's word after already in a mess is wonderful, but really, why not give it to him before that happens? His convictions weren't created in Babylon, because if that was too late, they were carried into Babylon. He already had his convictions. He already knew what he would and he would not do. He already knew that if he was approached with this situation, this is what God's word says. He was already prepared. Why? Because that's what the word of God, he was taught the scriptures. And so Daniel was prepared. Daniel had deep faith. Daniel had strong convictions. He practiced holiness and, listen to me, separation from youth. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. The decision wasn't spontaneous, y'all. It flowed from training to remain holy and distinct. The Bible says, be holy for I am holy. You're to be holy because God is holy. But listen to me, but if you're striving to live a holy life, I promise you that flows into your children's life as well. Because they see that. They see that you're trying to live a life that is pleasing unto that of the Lord, that's guided by the Word of God. Hebrew youth learned early the holiness matters. Holiness matters. And he would have learned to pray at home. Because in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, he prayed, y'all. He prayed three times a day. He didn't just wake up one day and say, no, he was trained in the fact that prayer was important. That phrase shows established habit. He already had an established habit, likely that was formed in his childhood. They're really not sure. But Jewish homes prayed morning, afternoon, and evening. And Daniel continued in that. Something that he was taught, something that he was trained with, something that he was shown. Remember, if you don't pray for your food, you're going to choke on and die. Yeah, that's plenty clear. Now, you ready? Here's what's so funny. I'll go, hey, did you pray for your food? Yes, silent prayer. Good. Let's play out loud now because I'm not choking on my food, okay? I want to make sure you got that prayer in. And so in that, we want to make sure that they are doing what it is that we know God's word says. I found this quote. God hasn't just sent you to do his work in the lives of your children. He will use the lives of your children to advance his work in you. That's good. Because why? Iron sharpening iron. We're growing in the Word of God so that we can pour the Word of God into them. Listen to me. Your pastors, we love y'all. We love you. And listen, we come alongside and we'll shore up. Hey, I'll support. I'll help you. But listen, it is not our job to raise your kids. It is not our job to be the only time they hear God's word is when they come to me. Parents that come to me and they go, hey, will you please speak to so-and-so and make them come to church? Nope, you tell them to come to church. Don't make me the bad guy. I'm not the bad guy. You don't let me be the bad guy. You be the bad guy. You be the parent. And then when they get to me, I will support you and say, man, it is so good to have you here. Praise God. You must have got off the couch and quit eating bonbons and drinking root beer. It's so good to have you. And so why do we do that? Listen to me. The reason why we do that, all right, there's conviction and then there's preference. And so what it does is we want to teach them, what does the scripture say? We want to teach them what honors Jesus here. We want to teach them to where they begin to, you remember, we're shaping the heart. We're growing their convictions according to what God's word says. What kind of person are you becoming? What kind of person are you becoming? Are you becoming a lazy slob? Hey, you ready? There's nothing better than to remind a young man or a young woman. Now, remember, you really think someone's going to find you attractive? Because remember, you look like a lazy slob, all right? But that's with love, all right? You're teaching them that they're, you ready? That dressing like something, keeping a bath, brushing your teeth, those are important things. One day you're going to run into someone that you're going to find attractive and you're going to smile at them and you're going to have Oreo teeth and they're going to look terrible. David Tripp says this, Paul David Tripp, he says, too often what we call convictions are actually preferences. Now remember that, parents. Real convictions are based on real truth that is in Scripture. Not preferences are like, I love pumpkin pie, but do not put whipped cream on it. That is nasty. Why in the world would you put, you ruined that pumpkin pie. But you see, that's my preference. You may be like, I'll eat a bowl of Cool Whip. What are you talking about? Throw the pumpkin pie in the trash. That's your preference. Convictions is what I'm talking about. Teaching them, what does God's Word say about that? Teaching them, hey, you ready? When they're faced with that question, is abortion biblical? Is abortion right or wrong? Your child has already been taught. Hey, you know what? Instead of them saying, well, I don't know, I guess it's... No, God's Word says it's murder. And they have a strong conviction in it, and they know what God's Word says, and they know why it's wrong to do those things. Why? Not because you thought it was... No, it's founded and grounded in the Word of God. Preferences are based on personal desire. Convictions demand faith. Preferences rely on emotions for the moment or of the moment. And so here's the application. Where can you start coaching instead of correcting this week? Where can you start coaching instead of correcting? Where can you start coach them, all right, instead of always being the corrector? Because if they're 13 to 18, y'all, really right now, you're just coaching. You're just really guiding them. Remember, shaping the heart, and you want them to have strong convictions, deep faith, all right? According to what? According to what God's Word says. Are you reacting to behavior? Or are you disciplined belief? Are you reacting to behavior, or are you discipline, or discipling belief? Which one is it? Behavior, or is it discipling? In what regular mentoring moment can you build? Now here's a good one. If they're already driving on their own, good luck. Okay, maybe you slip a CD in their car, maybe you put some notes in it. I don't know. But listen, here's some ways that you can begin to mentor that 13 to 18. It does. It's good to mentor, y'all. That's the coaching and mentor. Car rides are wonderful. Car rides are awesome. I'm telling you, I miss my car rides. I remember when my oldest, one day I looked over, she was in sixth grade, and she still had a teddy bear in her lap, and I'm going, yes, she's not too old yet. That is no more, all right? So car rides are wonderful. Dinner talks. Just find a time to gather around the table with your family. That is difficult, y'all. I'm telling you, sometimes it's around the bar for us. Not like the drinking bar. Don't go there. It's just, hey, wherever we can find, we can gather, we talk. Maybe it's while you're preparing the food. You just have those conversations, mentoring times, teaching them what God's Word says. And then really having a devotion time. And I know, again, in the hurriedness of life, but devotion times is wonderful. Time that you set aside for on purpose to have those moments. Now, you ready? You're not going to get that every night probably in this 13 to 18-year-old. Because remember, most times you've got jobs. I start losing my kids upstairs when they get 16, 17 years old because they go get a job. And I understand the same way as at home because that's what I've had as well. Make the most of the time that you have, whatever it looks like. Whatever it looks like. You're mentoring and you're coaching. You're mentoring and you're coaching. Paul David Tripp says this, and I close. In every moment when you are parenting, you are being parented. I'll say it again. In every moment when you are parenting, you are being parented. In every moment when you are called to give grace, you are being given grace. Okay? I'll read it again because I thought it was good because we need to understand, in every moment when you are parenting, you are being parented. You're growing as a parent, okay? In every moment when you are called to give grace, you are being given grace as well. And so we need to learn how to do that. We need to learn that as we are parenting, hey, you're learning how to be, because remember, you ain't done this yet. Well, you may have if you got multiple kids, but you're learning as you go. And that's the hard part. That's why we need one another, because as we go and we grow together, sometimes it's good to call on someone and say, okay, you've done been there, done that. How do I do this? And then you know what I do? I just tell you, hey, listen, this is what we've done in my home. This is what I would tell you to do, because not every time what I did at my home was right, because we had to learn from our mistakes, because we have those. We make those mistakes. But as you're parenting, you're being parented. Guys, let's grow. Let's understand, hey, we are molding their hearts. We're shaping their hearts. This 13 to 18, we're shaping that heart. We're growing them in deep faith and strong convictions. In what? In God's Word. We want it to be from God's Word. Because remember, it's God's Word that is absolute truth. It is God's Word that is the foundation for the wise man. The non-wise man builds his house upon the sand. I want my kids' lives to be built upon the Word of God. That is the strong foundation. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for our day. Lord, thank you for this time. And Lord, may we all know that, Lord, there's all areas that we can grow and we can do better within that of our lives of parenting. Lord, I'm thankful for the gifts of kids. Lord, it's awesome. Lord, days we want to pull our hair out. Lord, there's days that we just laugh, and there's days that we cry. Lord, it's crazy. But Lord, if you're the one that's in charge, Lord, you're the one that's the head of our home. Lord, you're the one that we're pointing people to. Lord, it's as we cry, we point our kids to you. Lord, as we laugh, we point our kids to you. Lord, it's as we pull our hair out, Lord, we're still pointing our kids to you. Because Lord, you are the only truth source that we have. And Lord, we want our kids to grow up having these strong, strong convictions that's only found in your Word, shored up by that of your Word, and have a deep faith. Lord, a faith that is unshakable, because we know when they leave the home, Lord, there's a world out there that wants to destroy. Lord, there's one that is seeking to devour. And so, Father, I pray, may our hearts desire to see our kids have that strong, deep faith. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In all these things we ask in Christ's name, amen.